Welcome to Markham Baptist Church this weekend after Canada Day. We hope that your holidays have been a blessing to you. Hear these words from the psalmist, from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all of his words and gracious in all of his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Whether or not you're feeling a sense of joy and the heights of celebration, or feeling the weight of life and rather bowed down, may this time together in worship with us be a time of inspiration, hope, and a bringing of peace to your heart as you live out the coming week ahead. There's a number of folks that are participating in the service today, and we want to recognize those folks by name. Victoria, Kimberly, Jean, Paul, and Carmela are all taking part in a variety of fashions. Some will be singing, some will be playing, some will be reading scriptures or offering prayers. Whatever it is, may you be blessed by all that happens. And please stay tuned, because following our worship, we'll offer a special time of communion together. All you'll need is a piece of bread and a sip of juice, and let those be representative of the elements of God's grace at the table of our Lord. Welcome again to Markham Baptist Church.
O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 95:1-3. Please join with me as I pray. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for the goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purpose. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you are always with us, and for your promise that you will never leave. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice that you made, sending your Son to earth to die for our sins, so that we might have freedom and life with you in heaven. Forgive us for when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all you've done, and for all you've given. Help us to set our eyes and hearts on you. Renew our spirits. Fill us with peace, joy, love, and kindness, especially during these times, Lord. We love you and need you each and every day. We give you praise and thanksgiving, for you alone are worthy. In the name of our Father, we pray. Amen.
The New Testament scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. I will be reading from the NIV. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn." For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Here is a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Verse 25. At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
So here's the question. Are you the one, or are we to wait for another? It was the question John the Baptist raised. John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus and who had seen Jesus and actually baptized him in the Jordan River, clearly understanding, at least at that point, that he was the Lamb of God, the one coming to save the world. And yet he was the one asking the question, are we to wait for another, or are you the Messiah? It's found in the 11th chapter of Matthew. Who can blame him for his question? After all, the great judgment that he had proclaimed as being the message of the coming Messiah had not come to be. Power was still in the hands of a corrupt few, and even John the Baptist himself, the one who was baptizing those who came repenting of their sins, was now sitting in a prison cell, Herod's prison cell, for the crime of telling the truth about Herod's sin. Rather than judgment, Jesus had come proclaiming another truth. He had come offering healing to those that needed a touch from God. The blind were seeing. The deaf were hearing. The lame were walking again, those with leprosy were being healed, and finally the poor were hearing good news announced for their lives. The third chapter of Matthew has John putting another image, however, into the minds of his followers and all who gathered at the banks of the Jordan River. Here's what he had said earlier on. "Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Jesus was the one John declared was the one coming with that message, was the one coming with great judgment and fire and the statement that people were about to perish for their wicked deeds. And so there was this tension, not between the two people, but between the message of John and Jesus. That Jesus had not brought the judgment that John had anticipated and spoken of. Are you the one that's to come, or should we wait for another? Jesus was there to say, listen, the wait is over, Messiah has come, the kingdom of God is actually here among you, it's in your midst. And so Jesus presents another truth about the kingdom of God. This past week, I was in my backyard working, and picture Tim the tool man, Taylor, talking over the backyard fence to his neighbor, Wilson. There is a landscaper in our neighbor's backyard working as well. And we got to talking, and I said, "You're enjoying what you're doing?" And his answer was, no, not at all. Who does? And I said, I did. He asked me what I did. I told him. And then he quickly said, well, I'm an atheist. And without a breath, he lobbed this comment. I'm not going to judge you. You cannot judge me. It was as if he was putting up a defense before war had ever broken out. He was protecting himself from something he had heard or seen or experienced before. So sad that that's the first experience, that's the initial thought one would have of a Christian. That we would be people who would feel that we're judge and jury of everyone around us. And yet, that's what people have learned through experience. And that's the reputation many Christians have earned through our worst behaviors through generations. Jesus shows us something different, though. He offers a present hope. He also offers liberation for the oppressed and freedom for the captives. He offers renewal to the disheartened and displaced. It's actually the message of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61, a passage that Jesus had read in the synagogue in Nazareth as he began his ministry in public. And it was a prophecy he held to himself and said, here is where I take my calling from. Here is my identity. The Spirit of the Lord, says Isaiah 61, is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God's kingdom is not one restricted to the future. It's breaking in. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we are praying is that God's kingdom would come in and through us in our present moment of living here on earth, as well as the future breaking in the fulfillment of God's promise. What we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to the present reality of Jesus Christ alive and well in this world and in our hearts, and we're asking God that God would use us. There's two other images that are shared in Matthew 11. Jesus talks about children dancing and weeping and the response of the people around them and how those two images of children playing and weeping are actually representative of John the Baptist, and Jesus himself. John's refusal to eat and drink gave an insight into a period of time in which people waited for the coming Messiah. It was a promise that had not yet arrived. And then the image of Jesus, the one who was willing to sit down at a table and share a meal with virtually anyone, signaled a spirit of celebration that was rare in their day. In other words, the time had come. The table was set, the feast was ready, and all are invited. And yet when people looked at Jesus, they said that he was a glutton, that he was a drunkard, that he was the friend of tax collectors and sinners. And thank God he was and is, because that's the only category open to any or all of us. Without Jesus being friend to sinners, friends of us, we would have no hope, neither in this world or the life to come. Jesus said the problem with this generation, both back then and now, is that we don't listen. We don't listen to John, and we don't even listen to Jesus. People felt both of them, John and Jesus, were rubbing them the wrong way. They tried their best to evade the teachings of both. Jesus said that they were like children in the marketplace who could decide neither whether they wanted to dance or to weep, that they weren't able to discern whether they wanted to play the funeral game or the wedding game. And because of that, they ended up playing neither. people who try to evade the teachings and person of Jesus Christ end up unable to do two things. They end up unable to weep or mourn as those who have hope. And they end up unable to celebrate as those who have experienced a true, deep, lasting joy. Because we don't like how John comes across, demanding repentance and requiring disciplined living. And because we don't like how Jesus comes across, seemingly tossing out the rule book that all of us have learned from our very young days and practiced all our lives, as the good moralists we are. Because we like neither one, we become lost. We become unable to understand who we are or what we believe or even what it is we follow. Yet wisdom, says Jesus, is vindicated by our deeds. Jesus' deeds were the evidence of what he believed, what he taught. He was the one who was ushering in the kingdom of God among us. And so he was telling them, you don't have to wait for another. I am the one that you've anticipated throughout the generations. I'm the one all the prophets have spoken of. Do you know what God is like? Rather than trying to imagine it, rather than guessing about it, and rather than projecting your own thoughts or imaginings onto God, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Stop spending your time trying to protect God's reputation, because in so many ways, it's a reputation that has gotten blended into falsehood and unreality. It's time that many images people have held on to as the truth about God need to be dismantled for the truth of God. The 20th century Swiss theologian Karl Barth said some things that may rub us the wrong way as well. We who are the privileged may hear these words with a bit of a sting to them. He says this, God stands always and unconditionally and passionately on the side of the threatened innocent, the oppressed, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the alien, and on this side alone, against the lofty and always on the behalf of the lowly, against those who already enjoy right and privilege, and instead on behalf of those who are denied and deprived of it. And that is the context into which we finally hear Jesus' remarkable words to us in verse 28. You've probably heard them before, perhaps even memorized them. Come to me, all you who are carrying heavy loads or burdens, and I will give you rest. So after rubbing us the wrong way, Jesus invites us to follow him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. William Goetler, who is the Dean of Ministry Studies at Yale Divinity School, says this about rest. He says, rest is offered not to the strong and successful, but to those who have been made weary by a world that fails to comprehend the burden of injustice. He says, the yoke is made easy by the heavenly powers coming to the aid of those whose ways this world fails to understand. Sounds like something Jesus said, doesn't it? Something he said in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about those who are most open to receiving the blessings of God. He talks about the blessings of God coming to the poor in spirit, to those who mourn, to the meek, and to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's blessings come to the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers. And God's blessings come most clearly to those who are persecuted for God's sake, for righteousness' sake. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. It's not that Jesus invites us to a life that is easy or life of ease. Following him is full of risk and challenge. And he makes that abundantly clear throughout the Gospels. Jesus calls us to a life of humble service, a life that is yoked to Jesus Christ himself, a life that is free from the need to prove ourselves with our own strength or ambition, and free to rest deeply and securely in God's grace alone, a life that is free to engage in the mission of Jesus Christ himself in this world, in our time, and on behalf of those in this world who are not yet free. If Jesus seems to be rubbing you the wrong way, rather than evade his teachings, listen to his promises and relax in his presence, knowing that in him there is a peace that lasts beyond understanding. Thanks be to God.
Need the kind of love that can outlast the night. I need the kind of love that is willing to fight when the going gets tough and my strength's not enough. I see you showing up like never before. This battle for my heart you took off from the start. You are the peace when my mind's at war. And oh, you will never stop fighting for me when I can't fight for myself. Every word is a promise you keep, 'cause you love me like nobody.
Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, thank you for this holy day and for every day like it. Even though sometimes we may miss the point, we look forward to doing what we want on holidays like this, but then you've made every day holy, inviting us to find life through obedience to your will and way. Thank you for our country. And more, thank you that you call us to be citizens not only of this great nation, but citizens of heaven, and for all that you stand for. You call us to be a people who practice hospitality and act justly, those who love mercy and walk humbly with you. You invite us, O God, to practice the ways of Jesus in our world, being a presence of invitation and humility, forgiveness, hopefulness, and faith. Call us back, O God, to who we are through Jesus Christ, and then call us again and again to be that people who are called to be the light of this world. We pray for those suffering this day, the many whose loved ones are ill or suffering or have died due to the virus and other challenges in this world through wars and crises and conflicts. We pray for healthcare workers. We pray also for police who serve and protect, even amidst the backlash of anger towards the abuses of few. We pray for all who are neglected or shut out of society, their voices silenced, their needs sometimes forgotten. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts that we might care for them as you care for us. And help us to be vehicles of your mercy and healing. Lord, bring us to that place in our lives where we may wage peace, overcoming tensions and violence and terror. And help us to know the way of your kingdom, to know that it is the way of following Jesus. It's in his name we live and pray. Amen. I hope this day, no matter where you are, whether in the heat of the Toronto area or somewhere else where it may be cooler, may you experience God's love and grace for you. May you find rest in him for the weariness of your soul, because you are battling for justice and for mercy and helping those who are oppressed. May you know the confidence of God is with you, and the challenge that others present to you are just a small portion of what others have experienced who have gone before you. May you experience grace and hope in the coming days, and may God grant you progress and joy in the faith. Amen.
Need the kind of love that can outlast the night. Willing to fight when the going gets tough and my strength's not enough. I see you showing up like never before. This battle for my heart you took off from the start. You are the peace when my mind's at war. And oh, you will never stop fighting for me when I can't fight for mine. Myself. Every word is a promise you keep, 'cause you're
Welcome to communion outside in the beautiful parkland beside our church building. And as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, I'm inviting Paul to introduce what we'll be sharing and to offer a prayer for the elements of the bread and the cup. Paul?
Good day, everyone. I'm happy to be part of the communion service today and to worship with you at Markham Baptist Church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about the communion service. And there are three statements in there that we could use to prepare our hearts for the prayer today. When Paul talks about the Lord breaking the bread and eating the bread, he says, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then a little further along, after Jesus took the wine, he also said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And at the end of this little section, the Apostle Paul summarizes by saying, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So those three things, two of them are much the same. The bread, do this in remembrance of me. The wine, do this in remembrance of me. And proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So let us bow our heads and hearts together and remember what the Lord has done and look forward to his coming again, because that's when the new earth, after the resurrection, will be established. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you that the bread reminds us that you came as a real life and flesh and blood person, and your flesh was torn. We thank you, Lord, that the cup reminds us that your lifeblood was shed so that we could receive spiritual life. And Lord, we thank you that the ancient promise of you returning and setting up your kingdom is a promise that we hold dear to our hearts and look forward to. May you help us to be kingdom people now and remind us that we look forward to an eternal kingdom where you reign forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am the bread of life, said Jesus. Eat and be thankful. I am the life. Drink and be filled. Thanks be to God. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.
I need the kind of love that can outlast the night. I need the kind of love that is willing to fight when the going gets tough and my strength's not.